Hey, I missed that guy. Who was that? Who was that at the top of the hour there that you just played? You remember him? Is he still around? That was one of my favorite clips, Super Don, that you ever put together. Man, it was quite a rant. I don't know how much editing you had to do, if any at all, but good Lord, that was something else. Going after
you were a little hot under the collar there that day.
Dude, do I ever get that way?
Anymore? Not quite like that anymore, no.
Yeah. Oh my it's God.
Rare. As Fauci would say, it's rare.
So it's rare. So, you know, the funny thing, I just have to laugh when days like this happen. I just got another text from Jonathan. He's on with a technician. It took him 2 hours to get, so he can't hang up and be on the phone with us at the moment. We don't know if we're going to have Jonathan Emord on the show today. And, you know, considering how my plans for the morning, you know, were to set up, we have a booth here at the ozonotherapy conference, thanks to Dr. Frank Schallenberger. And you know, no problem. The boxes are shipped in, you know, that you utilize here. And, you know, you show up and like, they're not here. Where are they? Well, the hotel says they haven't ever arrived. Where did they go? Well, apparently they were shipped to the FedEx office a mile away.
Oh.
Yeah. So I'm like,
thanks
all right,
a lot, guys.
I got nothing here. So I got to get an Uber Lyft or whatever over to the FedEx office. And because they wouldn't release them to a courier. That's what I heard. If they sent them to me, they had to get me there. And then I call up another one, you know, to get me hopefully it's a big enough SUV. And a really nice guy actually did. He came by and we had like 7 boxes and a big, you know, trade showcase. And so I'm riding back with them. Then I got to find a bellman to help me, you know, get all this stuff up here, and finally comes up here. And it's like an hour before showtime. And I'm trying to put stuff out for the things we usually love to. I love to pour shots of copper and silver for everybody, but it's like they're going to have to wait. Because it's showtime, you know, and I don't stop this show for nothing. Although if I'm on an airplane, they haven't figured out a way to broadcast live from an airplane yet, Super Don, but just you wait.
Well, you know, you did it in the back seat of a moving van. I think we could handle beyond on a plane, you know.
That sounds a bit rude. What are you insinuating?
You know what I'm talking about.
I don't. What are you talking
Look,
about?
For anybody who, how many years ago was that?
That was 16 years.
16 years 15, ago.
Yeah.
Now imagine the technology 16 years ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we figured out how to have you go live on the air in the back of somebody's van.
It was Liz Reitzig's minivan, the mom, supermom.
What was it?
The Raw Milk Freedom Riders.
Freedom Rides, yeah.
Yeah. And this comes up as a memory today because one of the ladies, you know, was helping out at registration when you come into the, you know, the event. And I'm talking to her, like, and she looks at me in the eyes and goes, "Don't you remember me?" Like, that's really awkward, isn't it? And I'm like, no, and I'm embarrassed, but I don't. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah.
She says,
"Hey, you. How you
yeah.
doing?"
She says, "Yeah, 16 years ago, I was the one shuttling guests to you in the van, including Joel Salatin, for the Raw Milk Freedom Ride. She and her husband had access to the FDA. That's when we picked up the milk in Maryland, drove it across state lines to Virginia, and drove it to the FDA's headquarters, and we were drinking, you know, raw milk and having cookies outside of their gates trying to get arrested because we had violated the interstate transport commerce clause or something with the raw milk. And she was there. She was the one that got me Joel Salatin on the air. And that when we finally arrived there, we couldn't park right in front of the FDA. So I was like a neighborhood half block away where we were. It was the craziest thing. I don't even know to this day how we pulled that off. And so that's the secret of what I was doing in the back of a van. Nothing illicit. And,
no,
you know,
I didn't know. That was you. You're getting your mind out of the gutter, man.
It just sounded like you were, you know, you're in Reno or something. What's going on in the back of a van? No.
When we did that, that was just like leaps ahead of anything we'd ever done before. It was just like, wait a minute, we do this, and then we can connect this to this, and then we do this, and then you're in the back there with your gear, and you're trying to connect to your phone, I think it was, or something like that for the data and all this stuff. We pulled it off. I was pretty proud of that, actually.
Man, that was wild. I think it was something like Dave TV or something. It was in the Ron Paul Revolution sequencing.
Justin.tv.
Justin.tv,
That's what it was, Justin TV.
Early phase of the ability to broadcast live video. Right. Again, from a moving van, crossing state lines with raw milk. I know. Contraband.
Now today it would be no big deal, but yeah. But then that was for us anyway. That was kind of like
actually
science fiction technology or something.
You know, it wasn't apparently a big deal enough because none of us got arrested. But you think about it now. I wonder if we did that today and we went to the FDA to protest in the same way with raw milk that we would be arrested. Do you think it's like more of a police state mentality 16 years later? No, it's wild. I mean, the memories flood. You know, I've been doing this on the air for 27th year now, broadcasting every week and then 5 days a week. Then we went from 1 day a week to 6 days a week. And within the last couple of months, now we're 7 days a week. And the PTL broadcasts are pretty cool. And Super Don's putting them up on for our Rumble Premium subscribers after we get to our Patreon subscribers first. So if you miss the PTL network, which goes up to the satellite, down to cable providers, it's a TV format. So it's a little different. But the information is kind of going back to basics. And we're tying in some biblical verses, some hymns and psalms or whatever. No, I'm not having you sing any hymns. But
no hymns. No, we haven't done any yet. Hymns.
Hers? Have we done any hers?
We've pulled some relevant scriptures out,
right?
Which actually is kind of cool.
It is. It is.
I like in a way that. Where it's just kind of like, you know, is there a scripture that would be appropriate for this topic that we're talking about? I don't know. Let's take a look. Oh, look, there's 12.
Yeah.
Which one do you want? Yeah.
And Liana Werner Gray, our friend, she'll be with me in St. George among our other friends there. Is doing some kind of biblical healing kind of thing on her Instagram and stuff.
Yeah.
So she's doing what we're doing, but in a soundbite way. I'm doing a full hour of a show based on the healing principles I want to relate to you guys, but tying it into things that for that audience, particularly on the PTL network, would resonate. It's like, you know, that's why I think trying to reach people where they are is a good thing. You know, rather than trying to have them, well, no, you can only do it my way or the highway. I mean, I'm not that way. Although we talked about too, how we can learn from some of the most significant and intelligent, smart people or healers even. And yet they don't have any care, concern for bedside manners. And, you know, one of the things, you know, that memory popped up from, I don't know, was this one during our weekday show? Cause it's hard for me to remember when I do this stuff now. We were talking about that concept because how badly do you want to learn something or know something? And that analogy always comes up for me is unless you want it bad enough, like you want to breathe air when your head is being held underwater, you will probably be distracted along the way. Sometimes doesn't mean you won't eventually get there, but it'll probably be a circuitous path. It won't be a direct path, but if you're really committed all the way, nothing can distract you. And that's the challenge. You know, just for those who say, I want to get well. And then I say, well, here's what you do to get well. And they're like, no, that's a little too difficult. And I said, well, did you really want to be well? And it turns out whether they admit it or not, they just wanted, a homeopathic pill. Like they took a pharmaceutical pill to relieve their suffering, which I'm okay with. I'd rather have them do the homeopathic stuff than the allopathic. But it isn't a level of commitment that I find is necessary. So if somebody comes to me and they say they want to get well, I want to determine first, how serious are they? How convicted are they to go all the way? And that will determine my level of commitment. And as I said, when I've talked to some people and you've heard some of the phone calls where it sounds like I'm being mean to these people, I don't feel it that way. I'm just trying to cut through the noise to say, here's what, if you want, this is what I have to offer you. If you don't, that's okay. And sometimes it's difficult because people are dealing with so much pain and suffering and confusion and angst. And it's like, it's hard to have compassion because, you know, they're coming to you for help and they're not really listening to you. And so what do you do? Are you obligated to spend hours on the phone just listening to them vent? I sometimes will let them vent for a few minutes. I don't have hours to do that. And then when they take a breath, I say, can I speak now? You know, like, Oh yeah. And they don't even realize they're doing it. They're stuck in that loop or a pattern like that. Today's show is different, clearly already, Super Don, because of what's going on with Jonathan Emord. I'm here in Reno during the lunch break, and I haven't had a chance because I've been setting up late with all these things to connect with some folks that I want to interview, although I might have somebody for the second hour. hopefully more, because there's some really cool stories already that I've been able to chat briefly with some people here. These are the, you know, when I talk about allopathic medicine, Superdon, over the years, you know, it's with disdain to some degree, right? Poison people for profit. I'm not a big fan of that. Yet we've featured so many doctors that are allopathically trained on this show, precisely because they've broken through a lot of those limitations, a lot of those beliefs and concepts of this is how you do it. And here's what I've already noticed. Can you say hello? Can you say hello real quick, live on the air, just to say hi to everybody? 1 minute. I'm coercing Frank Schallenberger to say hello to everybody. Frank, just to say hello. Yeah, I'm live. Just to say hello to everybody, because I've been talking about you, talking you up, and I want everybody to see you. And I know it's lunch, so it won't take a minute. So come on in here. Just a quick hello. Come on, sit down here with me. And let's see if I can unmute you. This is the famous the guy, Dr. Frank Schallenberger. And I can't say enough awesomeness about his this morning session when I was able to be in and listen. He's so on. You know, I just love it because I don't have to correct anything. You know, I go to these events. I'm like, yeah. You see it too. You're like, oh my God, I can't believe they said that, you know, about antioxidants or oxidation, all of these things. And you have just got this deep level, practical, pragmatic, and objective knowledge of this stuff. And I love it. Thank you.
Oh, good. Great. Good to hear that, especially from you. But,
oh, no, it's very kind. But we first met through our buddy Seth from Sovereign Naturals, and he can't be here because he's got a family reunion. So he sent me out, and of course they sent the boxes to the wrong place. Everything that could go wrong went wrong here. But I'm here. I'm live from this event, and I'm looking forward to not only talking to you just briefly now to say hello, but also anybody that you'd love me to interview during the weekend, live or even pre-record, because there's so many great stories here. And why people are drawn to this.
Oh, yeah, that's good. Get some of the people that are attending, yeah.
Yes.
And look, tomorrow I was planning on being with you for maybe 15 minutes or so.
Okay, that'd be amazing. Okay. I appreciate that. But for those that want to learn about or find doctors that are really qualified to help you with the way that Dr. Frank Schallenberger is teaching, I'll get that information out to you guys as well everywhere, because it's profound. The leaps that you can make for those of you that are stuck, can't seem to get help, even with good doctors are trying to help you. They don't know this stuff. And I want you to know about it. And there's some great things in conjunction with the things that, you know, Seth and we do, that the silver and the copper, it all works together. There's a synergy here that is just taking people to the next level where they thought, well, it's impossible. I'm dead. No, you're not. You can live.
Well, like I was saying, look, don't wait too long.
Yeah.
You can get to the point where it's not reversible.
Yeah.
So don't wait too long.
The ideal is don't wait till you're out of breath, right? A little bit left. And I've journeyed my whole life to regain something I never had as a young person. And I found ways to do it. And I love to interact with folks that are doing that and helping you to do that. And Frank here is doing that so well. So I don't want to take you away from your lunch, but I at least wanted you to say hello to everybody.
Okay.
Thank you for having me here.
Thanks. I'll see you tomorrow. Then.
Okay. Sounds good. All right. That's Dr. Frank Schallenberger here, live from the ozonotherapy certification weekend, or through the whole week. And he's got all the way from beginners to the experts to the, it's like an intensive, my gosh, the things that they're going to be learning here. So anyway, I was glad I was able to do that, Super Don, because I wanted to make sure that he knew that we were linked in. And so he's planning to be on the show tomorrow, at least for a little while in the midst of his training, because it's intense what he's doing.
All right.
Dude, I'm telling you, you know, I get excited because if I find somebody that I see, they actually know this stuff, because there's a lot of people that sort of skirt around the edges and they know a little bit. And if you've ever heard this term, a little bit of knowledge can be a dangerous thing. Have you ever heard that? It means that you have kind of a superficial knowledge of something, but you can't go below that surface and you can end up getting in trouble.
I used to know someone, I won't name any names, but
okay,
I used
okay.
to know someone that, that term applied to this person had some basic knowledge of how electricity works and electronics.
Yeah.
And almost killed himself several times doing various handyman type things, not really knowing what exactly he was doing.
Yeah.
And So yeah, that is just funny. I don't know why that just popped into my head. And then when you said that, as like the example that my brain thinks of, where it's just like, yeah, you know, I know how to make this do that thing, you know, and then it's very easy for those people to get in over their head, because that right there would be an accurate look. The Dunning-Kruger thing, I know, leaves a bad taste in people's mouths because of the way that it's used as a weapon.
But there's some truth in it, there's some legitimacy
to that. Yes.
Yeah, and so what I'm seeing here with like Frank Schallenberger is, you know, they're doing things that, listen, if government agencies had their way, they would just, you know, you know what I'm saying? They don't want this stuff out there, because these are doctors that are really taking information going back a long way and just, you know, what can you say? I mean, they're risking their professions, their reputation, on and on, because they are going outside the proverbial pharmaceutical box to help people. This is why I wanted to become a doctor, for these kind of people, to connect with those that really, and you know, the term physician doctor is teacher, right? And he's a teacher too. He's not just, he knows how to do stuff and he's keeping it secret from everybody. He's like, hardcore. I'm like, I want people to be able to do this. And so setting it up to do it right, to do it responsibly. And it's not like the government's in here going, he better do that. You know, it's like he knows better than any of them. And so this kind of innovation makes my heart happy. But you know that there are bureaucrats out there just waiting to, they don't want this to get out there. The things that you're able to achieve to recover, things that are supposed to be incurable, these things are happening regularly. I mean, look, how many doctors have I featured on this show that are able to cure the incurable? You know, not the least of which is Dr. Nick Gonzalez, who's no longer with us under mysterious circumstances to some degree. Yeah. So I'm just grateful, honestly, that there are other people. And I know there are, but to connect with them, this is why I say to folks, if you can get out to these events, and I know not everybody's a doctor qualified to do this event particularly, but even those other events where it's a mix of doctors and lay people, whether it be the Southern Utah Holistic Health Summit or whether it be the Beljansky Integrative Cancer Conference. And I'm not saying 100% of the people there are pure as the driven snow either. I know that. I'm not naive. But there are people really committed to do better. And we can encourage them, and you can receive encouragement by interacting and coming out to these events. So despite all the things that have gone awry or wrong, in getting things set up today, including Jonathan Eward not be able to be here at this moment because of his Wi-Fi issue where he's at. Maybe that's, you know, the reason it has to go its own way today. There are stories I don't mind covering with you, but you know, a lot of them are a little bit obvious. Or what would you say about Bill Gates? I call him Bill Gates from hell or of hell. He donated apparently hundreds of millions of dollars, not just a million, you know, it's like the Gates Foundation, hundreds of millions of dollars. Who has the ability to donate hundreds of millions of dollars? And you think, you know, let me do some nice things for people that will help them out of their mess. No. He's donating to the NIH to influence research priorities for the benefit of his own foundation. Right? Is that, that's modern philanthropy, boys and girls. Now, you know, what are we to, how do we respond, or how do we perceive this kind of behavior? You know, Gates, Microsoft, whether he was the guy or he stole it, who knows? He's the guy that generates billions and billions of dollars through that software. And then, you know, I've talked about the global elites at a certain point read him the Riot Act. And I describe it this way. When Microsoft had kind of a operating software monopoly, and there were governments and government agencies going after Bill Gates and Microsoft at a certain time in history. And they were like, no, we're going to break up this. We're not going to let you have that, you know, access to everybody exclusively with this, you know, computer operating system. And then something weird happened in that timeline that suddenly pretty much all of those lawsuits were dropped. And they stopped going after him on antitrust grounds. And it was just prior to that that he had established the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and Gavi, the promotion of vaccines worldwide under the guise of his generous philanthropy. And then suddenly all the governments almost simultaneously backed off. Now, some people can you know, push back on me and go, it's a conspiracy theory, you know, trying to put two or three or more things that occur in a timeline together to make sense is what I try to do. Because when I was in grade school through high school, I really didn't enjoy history, learning about history, particularly in high school, when they were just basically a series of dates and times and places and names with no explanation as to their link or connection to anything else, except that this happened at this time and this is the guy that did it or wasn't. Yeah. And I was so like, this just sucks. This is boring. Now, after I graduated not only high school, but then university level, I began to dive deep into the proverbial rabbit hole to say, how does this world really work? I need to know, because my health and healing, I think, depends on it. My suffering as a young boy to growing up to a young man, being chronically ill, and all the experts on the planet in medicine couldn't help me other than suppress my symptoms. And even as they acknowledged, they didn't know why I was sick. And you've heard me tell this story if you've been with me for a while. But I just wanted to, you know, give you a little bit of insight into why I look at things the way I do and try to make sense of them outside of this happened and this happened and this happened. Nothing's related to anything. And it's funny how, not funny, haha, in a funny real way, but funny, weird way, how there's an entire industry set up to stop people from linking cause with effect.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
What if your worst dreams aren't your enemy?
Falling, cheating, being chased, naked, drowning, losing teeth. What if I fail? What if something goes wrong?
I'm Teresa Chung, dream expert, best-selling author, and co-host of The Healing Power of Your Dreams. And in my latest title, Extreme Dreaming, I reveal a powerful truth. There are no bad dreams.
They feel so real, but that's so you remember them.
They're messages, signals, transformative gifts guiding you toward clarity.
Click on the Extreme Dreaming discount banner link on UK Health Radio homepage and learn to decode even your darkest dreams.
Extreme Dreaming.
Are you ready to listen?
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
And what do I mean by that? If you start saying that, for instance, the reason that, well, the family has broken up in the 20th century from traditional family values, the mom, the dad, the kids and stuff. And you start saying, hey, you know what? I think the CIA had something to do with that. And then you start looking at other events that help curate or facilitate that, like the women's liberation movement, whether it be Gloria Steinem or others. You begin to find that there are influences that are not organic, not grassroots. And this is not to say there's never been any or zero benefit from liberating women to be able to go out and do things that they want to do. That's not what I'm saying in terms of throwing out the proverbial baby with bat, the whole thing. But there's always something that can come out of a controlled situation. Like they're trying to control it to do this. They can't control everything that happens. So there's going to be some good stuff that can occur, like the internet, for instance, the development of the internet. In many ways, it was about a control factor, a control feature to what? Monitor all of us. And it's still plowing itself through with these AI data centers and everything else. But at the same time, it also facilitated communication that was unprecedented, instantaneous, knowledge access, etc. Now, I'm not saying you automatically know what's real and what's not, but you had access to information like never before. And when I started my journey, we didn't have the internet. I know it's like, yeah, when I was a kid, but we actually went to libraries. We checked out books. We investigated things and we went deep into the stacks, you know, and to try to find things that were hidden. Obviously, we could read books of others, authors that had studied and researched and found things that were not easy to see or find. But the attack on people who dig deep, who research and find inconvenient connections are the most attacked by the established order. like a CIA propaganda campaign to say those people are what? Conspiracy theorists born out of what? The investigation into the John F. Kennedy assassination, JFK assassination. And, you know, you would think that anybody that's searching for the truth, you wouldn't call them a truther in a derogatory way. You'd be going, good on you. Go dig deep and report back to me. Let me know. That's pretty interesting. But by and large, those who have established their order and their control really don't appreciate when you start digging deep and revealing things. So the opposition to that is to in any way denigrate the messenger. If you can't, you know, eliminate the message to say those people are crazy, they're kooky, they're nutty. How often do we fall prey to go, oh, that's the craziest thing I ever heard, and then it turns out to be true? And of course, we saw that accelerate during COVID like never before. How many times have over the years I've said some things, and some of you maybe even said, that's the craziest thing I ever heard, and then you find out all these years later, I wasn't making that stuff up. I was actually correct and right. I didn't have to apologize and go, sorry, I was wrong. And this is not to say I've never been wrong, but by and large, Superdon's been with me long enough to know that, it's seemingly a rare event, not because I'm claiming to be smarter than anybody else, but I've done a lot of diligence over many years prior to even doing the show that started in 1999. And so, I bring this up, in relation to the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Now, I guess it's Bill Gates because Melinda checked out of that, and how he bought and curried favor with the researchers and the research institutions, the National Institutes of Health, et cetera, to basically put studies out there that would basically profit his foundation. Now, some would say then we need to stop these billionaires from doing what they're doing. Okay, I get the sentiment, but it ignores also those in government who have actually technically more power in reality than the billionaires, to, set policy in many ways, to establish monopolies in many ways, and also to be interested in their own, what can I get? Even if they're not billionaires like Gates had become, how many people go into government, elected officials particularly, but maybe they work at the regulatory agencies, and they end up coming out millionaires or more? And you begin to see that government and business collude together. You can't just go, oh, it's all about big business and billionaires. And you can't go, oh, it's only about, the government. It's like the collusion is what it is. And people collude for their self-interest, self-aggrandizement, self-enrichment, etc. It's very rare that you find people of high moral integrity that believe in something greater than the almighty, if you want to call it dollar. It's not very almighty as it's decaying. Even though there are stops and starts with fiat money too on the way to zero. So I want to encourage you once again to set up your UPMA account. Just an aside here, I'm just rambling today. This is where it's gone today. But the United Precious Metals Association, a nonprofit group, a private membership group that you can become aligned with and be part of for free if you want. Open an account, put some fake money in to get some real money, and start changing things. If you want to take possession of real money, start using it. And this is the discussion I had with Mark D the other day. He's like, but you have these gold backs and you don't want to spend them because they're only getting more valuable compared to the Federal Reserve note dollar. So you have those paper dollars, the fiat dollars. You're like, oh, I want to spend them while I can still spend them. So it's very hard because even at that interpersonal level, that like just me, just you, we're like, oh, but I don't want to spend that gold back because now tomorrow it's worth even more. And I just, so our tendency is like, well, we got to hold that. And I get it because it's a hedge against what? The inflationary death spiral of the Federal Reserve note dollar. But then we have to step out a little bit of ourselves and step out a little bit of our comfort zone and say, you know what? It's bigger than about me and you. It's about what are we doing to make this place better? If not for ourselves, then think about for our kids and grandkids down the road. Can we establish a sound money system, whether the government agrees with it or not, in a local way, and then build out from there, where we begin to say, hey, let's exchange something of real value amongst ourselves and our community locally, so that when the inevitable crash to zero of the Federal Reserve note dollar occurs, you have limited, let's just say limited concerns or limited panic, because you're already utilizing a means of exchange and have been for months to years. Who knows how long this lasts? Whereas if it's a sudden Weimar Republic, you're bringing wheelbarrows filled with Federal Reserve Note dollars just to buy a loaf of bread or, you know, a gallon of raw milk. And then, you know, by the time you rolled it in the store, it's worth even less or worth nothing. And now you're just burning it to stay warm, like, you know, after the Weimar Republic scenario in Germany. And I think about that, and very rarely do any of us, humans, we're humans in the sense, think about those scenarios, because it's just too far afield. It's like, I don't even want to. And I get it. I don't want to. But the irony, of course, by not doing that, which is the encouragement of the, once again, the global elites, they don't want us to prepare a plan for this. They want us to be in a collapsed state and a completely dependent state, so that then they come in with all their plans and they succeed, even though you didn't want them. You tried to protest against them. You did stuff. But now suddenly, because you did nothing to prepare a plan by having an option to Federal Reserve notes like goldbacks or other things, then you're screwed, because now they're going to come in and go, here, I've got your digital currency. And as long as you play ball with us and do what we tell you to do, get your shots, you know, pay to this or whatever, have the right beliefs, on and on it goes. I'm just saying there's enough history for us to look into and go, yeah, we might not want to wait till a collapse. We might want to practice these things, even though it's uncomfortable. And it's like, I don't want to, because when that happens, we could be like the Amish. Economically, in a sense, in this way. But the electricity analogy is good, though. If the electricity goes out, the power goes out, you're screwed. Like, what are you going to do? But if you're the Amish, you're like, nothing changes. And if you're reliant on Federal Reserve notes and it suddenly can't buy you anything, and you don't have another option because you thought about it, you heard me talk about it, but you're like, you didn't do anything. Now it gets ugly. The things some people wish for, and Super Don, you come on here and we talk about this too. It's like, the extreme survivalist. I can't wait for the collapse, right? And you're like, do you really know what that looks like? What that's going to be, you know? And I say, I'm not excited about that. At the same time, if I perceive, as I do, Super Don, that I don't know the time frame, but that the inevitable tanking of the Federal Reserve note, where you can't buy anything, it's already, you know, we complain about inflation. Look how expensive this is. Look how expensive that is. Yeah. We want to blame Trump. We want to blame Obama. No, blame the Federal Reserve and the fact that we're not doing something besides it. And so what I'm trying to relate here is that to do the little steps now means we don't have the zombie apocalypse that some are wishing for and hoping for, that we're going, no, I dread that. I don't want that. But we can't stop it ultimately. The history of money is that's not sound. We know where it goes. It's not a mystery.
Right.
So I'm asking for uncomfortable things from people. I know they're reluctant to do it, including once you have goldbacks to start using them. I bring you with thoughts.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and it totally makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you have the ability to do that, and if there are people in your area that will accept them and use them, and you can, you know, do commerce, that's awesome. You know, it's still a thing where, at least in my estimation, it's not as widespread as we would like it to be.
Oh, I agree. But I think there's even reluctance in this audience that knows better. That's why I'm speaking to, and I'm talking to myself too. Listen, I'm telling you, I have these feelings too. When I talk about it, I'm not immune to this. These are struggles that I go through. Yet, I don't know that I can solve anything. I'm not delusional ultimately, but I'm, I want to say, can I do a little bit? Can we do a little bit? And could that make a big difference? I think so. Suddenly open people's eyes to the realities, as opposed to going, we're all screwed, or I can't wait for us all to be screwed. And then, you know, it's like, oh, man.
I don't understand those people. I just don't. I feel like they're living in like some kind of weird fantasy land. They've been watching too many action movies, you know, or something like that. You're like, oh, the collapse. Yay. It's like, dude. Yeah. I mean,
I partly understand it. You think about all the perceived bad guys. Like, I want them to get their comeuppance, but it doesn't come without inconvenience.
Do you think that any of these people that are salivating over the collapse of society really, truly understand what exactly that's going to involve and the pain and the suffering and the death.
Yeah.
And everything like that, that's going to happen. I mean, it's just, it's all, like I said, it's all fun and great to sit there and think, oh, I just watched Mad Max. You know, I can't wait for the collapse. I know, I'll know exactly what to do. You know, it's just like, that's not reality. You know, I mean, it's from.
Well, if you are the so-called multi-billionaire and you've got a compound with years worth of food.
That's different. That's different. You know, the vast majority of people. You know, I mean, it's gonna be devastating. And so to hope for something like that, no, screw that, man. I'm not hoping for that. You know, find me the freaking solution to get, you know, to get around that. Mm-hmm. Don't go like, oh, well, you know, then everything will go back to this way it should be and da da da. Yeah, okay. When let me see you out there milking the freaking cow and hunting for your food. You know, it's just like you'd be like, oh, wait a minute. I didn't know it was going to be like this. Well, you got what you were hoping for, you know?
Well, and I think that's the point. I think if anybody's really ready for the collapse, I think the Amish are, for instance.
You know, I mean, even the, think about it. I mean, you could say that and I understand what you're saying, but imagine what would happen with the Amish in a situation like that, right? Mm-hmm. What happens if society collapses and you've suddenly got millions and millions of people that suddenly are just like, I don't have any food. Mm-hmm. What do you think they're going to do? You think they're going to sit down in the middle of their living room with no power in the dark and just sit there and just starve to death and die? No, they're going to go where the food is. Where's the food? Oh, the people like the Amish.
Yeah. So you're saying the Amish are going to be targeted.
Dude, I mean, come on. Yeah. You know, it's like, think about this for a second. Major unrest. People, I mean, come on. I don't even have to spell it out.
When it comes to survival. Now, there's one story that you curated today that is really fitting in with this discussion. It involves Joel Salatin. And that's so funny that I ran into Pam, who got me Joel Salatin the first time he was on when we did the Raw Milk Freedom Ride all those, 16 years ago. And he wants to liberate small farms like his own from large regulatory agencies. So the ability to even produce food is curtailed by all of these regulations that are under the guise of we're making food safe for you. Well, how safe is the American food supply grown with chemicals, synthetic chemicals, versus these organic local type regenerative farmers like Joel Salatin? And he says he says there's a food emancipation proclamation to unshackle America's sustenance from prejudicial regulatory tyranny, right? They're targeting these small farms and, you know, these local butchers, these processors, et cetera, and they've made it so darn near impossible to feed the people that want to be fed, that want to, you know, let's say maybe not everybody wants to be a farmer. That's true about history, right? But if those farmers can't produce the food, they're driven out of business. That's why I was talking about the Jeremy Clarkson's farm, right? That's their fifth season on Amazon Prime. And in the early first few episodes, they were talking about protests in England because, you know, they're trying to basically tax these small farms out of business because they want globalism. They want everybody to eat bugs, the things we've been talking about for years. And they're just ahead of us in England in implementing that in Europe, perhaps. But there is pushback. So maybe it delays it. Maybe it puts the kibosh on it. But there's always intent, like Bill Gates, to say, I want to control the world, you know, the megalomaniacs. I want to have, you know, the profit coming in and never leaving. And to control every aspect of that, he then buys favor with the NIH by giving them hundreds of millions of dollars to produce science that then the skeptics go, see, that's science. And we point out the conflicts of interest. And then they say Dunning-Kruger, right? Yeah. And then I'm here on the ground with doctors that really do care, that are doing good work. That's why I say it's not about dismissing all doctors because they're allopaths. It's like, I want to know about their individual integrity. What are they doing to break through the limitations of their training? And that's why I appreciate Frank Schallenberger and what he's doing here. So we're in Reno. I ate yesterday at the, what's it called? The farm bistro, homegrown. I think it's called homegrown organic bistro. And I ate here a few years ago, and I longed, and when I come back, I'm coming back. And I met with an old friend that I've known since decades. And she had been challenged with cancer a year ago. And I was, you know, consulting, helping her a little bit from a distance, just wanted to catch up and see how she's doing. And she's doing a lot better, but it was great to have that organic meal. And you'll never guess what I had for dinner last night. Did I tell you, Super Don? Did I tell you? I think I might have.
I think you did, but I've already forgotten. So,
organic fried chicken.
Oh yeah,
waffles. Chicken and waffles.
Chicken and waffle. You know, I've never had chicken and waffles before, and I've heard people talk about it, and they just rave about it.
It's a fun food. And you know, that's part of the Deep South, chicken and waffles, right? And yet here I am in Reno, and somebody, they're making it. And, you know, clean food done right with organic maple syrup, if you want to pour it on there.
So it's literally like waffles you would have for breakfast.
Yep. A waffle.
With fried chicken.
On it. Yep. Not bone. They take the bones out so you can just cut and eat it. But,
Boneless chicken.
Yeah. Okay. Well, they take the bones out. Yeah. And then, because I don't think they were actually boneless when they were alive, but. You know, they would just kind of, they'd be jello chickens. But the idea also, and they had, and my honey would love this, Brussels sprouts. They served them with Brussels sprouts. And oh, so good. I'm telling you. And I'm not allowed to have them in my home because too much trauma with Brussels sprouts when my wife was a child. I've shared that story. It's how you can become repulsed from a food because you've been forced to eat it as a kid. But it's really, I never grew up with Brussels sprouts either, but now when they're done right, they're amazing. And then they have all these desserts and things. I didn't have room for dessert last night, so I'm gonna have to find a way to get back there and just indulge. So
sounds good.
A little bit of food celebration while I'm out here. How's things in the chat room there, Super Don? I don't know what's going on.
Our friend Adrian is hanging out. Lori's there as well.
Hey, Adrian and Lori, how you doing? You won something at the last AMA. I finally shipped it out before I left for Reno.
And Robert didn't have your address.
Yeah, but I got it. Yeah, I texted him.
I know, you asked me to get it. I'm like, you get it. It's Adrian. Just get his address.
I thought you might have it already, so. Like, I'm not busy.
So Adrian is saying, in regards to my mini rant there about people hoping for the collapse.
Yes, yes.
He says, actually, Don, many will sit and starve because they have zero skills and have no idea what it takes to survive on their own and expect to be fed. I partially agree with you that, yeah, there are many people that, and even, I mean, look, I'm not like, you know, Grizzly Adam or something. I mean, I don't, you know, I mean, I have some, and I know people, fortunately, you know, but... And I live actually in a really good area to probably have a better chance of survival than some people in the more urban settings. But what I disagree with on your comment, Adrian, is that survival instincts kick in when people get hungry. And so...
So you're saying they're not going to sit on their asses and wait?
I don't think anybody's literally going to be like, well, I'm just going to sit here and look out the window until I die of starvation. No. There's going to be, especially somebody who has a family, right? Or something like that.
You're going to fight for them.
You're going to try and do something, you know? And so, you know, that is why I was saying that, you know, saying, oh, the Amish are going to survive. Well, the Amish better have a lot of guns. Because people are going to go wherever they can find a food to be able to feed their kids and their family and stuff like that and themselves, right? Because that's just survival. So that's more or less what I was saying. And it's just like, yeah, you know, in a black and white on paper scenario of a story of the collapse and then, you know, the people that don't know, you know, survival of the fittest. I get all that stuff like that. But why would somebody be like looking forward to something like that? Unless they're all they're doing is they're being almost selfish in a way where it's like, you know, my idea of how things should be would require the collapse. And I can't wait for that so that things will happen the way that I think they should happen. Mm-hmm. And not taking into consideration the devastation. Wow, that rhymed. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, wouldn't we want to hope that maybe we could figure out a way to make this work without that? Mm. I mean, wouldn't that be the preference, really? You know, it's just like, yeah, I get it. A liberty, God, founders, constitution. I get all that. That's all great. And I don't disagree with any of that. But it's just like, in order to get to that place where things get better, I understand. I mean, I don't disagree with the concept that things are so effed.
Yeah.
In this country and with the system and the corruption and the greed and the cancer that is metastasized through every part of government, right? Yeah. I understand that ultimately it's probably going to come down to something like that.
Yeah. But
to hope for it is like another thing where it's like you're not really thinking about the big picture here.
You're not thinking it all the way through.
People you know and you care about and you love and all this stuff like that, what they're going to have to go through on something like that. We could say it's a tough love thing. Oh, we got to do it, stuff like that. But that is not – that's not a compassionate point of view.
Well, and this is
what comes along with a collapse. That's all.
Yeah, and this is, and there will be some people that will sit on their hands and die. There are some people that will go the deer in the headlights and like just they'll give up. They'll be so filled with despair and hopelessness. Oh, they might commit suicide even.
Do it that way, You know,
that'll happen as well. But this is where you know when we talk about organized religion, the potential for communities coming together based on faith. Is the good side of that, right? You know, we can talk about other aspects of it, but in those times and moments where having a strong faith community, as I talked about that, you know, why does someone like Bill Gates or anybody do these things where it's only about themselves? Who cares? I'm just all about what I can get, right? And a lot of people do live that way, but it is a spiritual deficit, in my opinion. And I'm not talking about what religion you belong to.
Now, if you sat down with Bill Gates, he would disagree with you, of course. Mm-hmm. Because what he would say is all of this that he's doing, the philanthropy, is he's doing this to save lives, right? I'm doing this to save, you know, the children in Africa. Even though, you know, you and I have joked about this in the past where it's like, you know, they get in the plane and they get in the vehicle, the Jeep, and they're, you know, they go into the deepest parts of Africa and they show up and they're like, hi, everybody, we're here to save you. And they're like, oh, my God, I haven't eaten in 3 weeks. Can I have a sandwich? No, but I have a vaccine for you. Mm-hmm. What?
Yeah.
I brought you a toilet. You know, I mean, it's just like, no, we got a vaccine. Yeah, I know you're starving, but here's a vaccine.
Yeah.
It's like, that's not what they want. That's not what they need.
Yeah. 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 He could say it all he wants, but the evidence to the contrary. And I'm not saying that also, because I like Ayn Rand. Ayn Rand.
Ayn Rand.
And that kind of selfishness can be also selfless. That is, by improving yourself, doing things, then you're able to help others. And I agree with that too. So it's an interesting narrow path in between those two phases where I'm not talking about collectivism and socialism and communism. I'm talking about through freedom to choose to work together with others. And that seemingly, there are a lot of people that have tried to set up these kind of, what did you call them in the 60s? Community
communes,
things like that.
Yeah,
it never seems to work when it's forced community. If you choose to do it and try it, but you'll always find out that somebody's going to take the free ride, and that breeds resentment in the community. You know, where you're like, we've all come together to help one another, and then somebody's doing nothing because they don't have to do anything, and the food is automatically there for them.
That's the human condition, unfortunately.
Yeah. So how? And if, to me, it's about spiritual connectedness to know that also. That even though there's an end point to this lifetime within the physical body, that death is not the end either, you know? And I think that's, we've had some great discussions about that with, what was that? The guy, Satya, what's his name? Seti, Dr. Seti. I think we had on a Sunday conversation, talking about how if we didn't have this existential fear of death, how would it change things? What would it change? You know, and that again comes to a spiritual depth of comprehension or experience beyond even, as we talked about, belief, because it always seemed to come back to that. Do you believe it to be true? Whereas I might say, hey, I know it to be true, but I don't know it for you. It's just, this is where I'm at. So it all comes down to, I believe it to be true. Or somebody says, you believe that you know it to be true. Fine, whatever. But the shift in, you know, oh, I got to get it all because it's the only chance, the only shot, is it? And versus, man, there's a continuum here. And I'm here to learn. I'm here to grow. I'm here to serve, right? People find such joy and service to others that it's more fulfilling than all the billions and trillions Gates may have accumulated to rain death and destruction on with his vaccines. But then he was in the club, and then it was like, okay, no more antitrust. We're not going after you, Bill. So this is how these things are controlled. How do we, as you said, work around it, liberate ourselves? As Joel Salatin says, how do we liberate the small family farmer from the control grid that limits their ability to provide food for themselves, much less everybody else that now wants the cleaner foods that, you know, is a growing movement despite all the obstacles of skeptics that say organic doesn't mean anything other than we can chemically manipulate things through organic chemistry. So, yeah, it's an interesting discussion today how this all rolled out. But for whatever reason,
somehow we've blown through the first hour already, which is crazy to me. But
yeah, just plug me in. Let's go. And good journeys here. So anyway, I'm here in Reno, the ozonotherapy conference, and we'll have Frank Schallenberger on tomorrow. Hopefully we might get some guests on in the hour too. I can't guarantee it. It might just be you and me the whole show, based on how things. I just didn't have the time to make the inroads and interactions this morning because of all the chaos that occurred. Box is not here. You can't say all of that. I'm like, okay, I got to get in a different mindset, in a different zone, so to speak. And if there's anything that you could say that comes with age a little bit, some of it is that, yeah, get off my lawn. But also there's a reality that you don't control everything. And if you think you do, you're delusional. And so when things don't go right, you just got to go back up. You know, I could fight harder and yell and scream. It's like, you know, people that if you ever go on airplane trips, and this still happens, but it used to happen a lot, like, you know, the weather delay or something. And man, people are screaming at the agent like the agent had anything to do with it. You know, that kind of, maybe it, with age, you go, you know, that's not going to solve, that's going to make everything worse. Let's just sit back and kind of find another rhythm. What's going on here? Step into that rhythm. And life is so much better. I'm not saying I'm perfect at it, but I've learned a little bit to where, you know, I ranted a little bit to Super Don and Mark D as well before we got. I was just like, this sucks. I get, and then I'm going to go, all right, I'm going to just step into this new rhythm. And then I learned Jonathan Ebord is not even going to be on the show this first hour. All right, here we go. More of that. But it turned out to be a pretty good hour. I think some good discussion points. And I always love sharing and listening also to Super D's rants, as Adrian loves Super D's rants. I don't think people tune in for me anymore. It's all like, when is Super Don going to rant again? Can't wait for that. Robert, will you get out of the way and let Super Don do a rant? Okay. Next hour, Super Don take over. I'm going to go for lunch. I haven't eaten yet either. Did I mention I haven't eaten today? This is not my day of fasting, and inadvertently it has become that because of everything that's gone on. All right. Enough of me complaining. Let's go to hour two. Maybe we'll have some surprise guests. Maybe we won't. But we do have some stories to share, and I'm glad y'all are here. Please share the show. Join us on our Patreon. Once a month, we do our AMA. We'll let you know when the next one's going to be this month. And Rumble. Find us on Rumble. Subscribe. Go premium, whatever. And say thanks to those who make this message of health, freedom, and healing liberty possible, like our friends at Ridgecrest Herbals, like our friends at Better Way Health, and more. You can check them out. And the homeopaths we got, I'll talk about them next hour as well. So thanks for being here. God bless you. Take a break. Come on back. Sip some kombucha, whatever you're drinking right now, or dandelion tea. And I'll remind you that the power to heal is yours.
The longest running health freedom show on the planet. The Robert Scott Bell Show. To go where the truth takes him. Here's Robert.
All right. I took a moment to grab some, what do we call these things? Roasted whole organic cashews just to get something in me. I wasn't planning on fasting today, so apologize for kind of eating on the air there, Super D. I'm breaking the rules, but hey, man, today's a day. You got to break some rules. I think I may have found a guest. It's interesting. We're talking about the issue of Tremors. Not that great movie with who is in that movie? Was that Kevin Bacon in that one too? Tremors? Did you ever see that one, Tremors, where there were these underground creatures that would come up and get you?
The big old worm things.
Yeah.
Underground. Yeah. That was Kevin Bacon.
That first one was a great movie. I thought it was a B movie, but it was a great movie. But the idea of Tremors we're talking about,
it's
are like
classic. Yeah. I mean, it's actually very popular.
So I met a lady, that she has worked with something related to the ketone concept, but some breakthrough for neurological help related to Tremors. I think it's going to be interesting. So, again, these are the things that can happen when you're here. And I just, you know, was talking with her earlier. I thought I found her. She's someone that didn't go disappear during the lunch break. So we might have some interesting things to learn today in regards to helping people with that. So stand by for that. Let's see. Oh, you know what? Because I'm not, we didn't plan to do a homeopathic hit. I would not have time to prepare for one today for sure. I do want to say thanks to our sponsors for sure. Let everybody know that, you know, give them some love, man. They are really amazing in supporting. Not every company has the tenacity and courage of their convictions, that believes in health, freedom, and healing liberty. And a lot of them just kind of hide behind the scenes, but these folks do not. Particularly Reggie and the gang at Better Way Health. Phenomenal science behind the beta-glucan. You want to modulate immunity. You want to be stronger. You want to stay stronger. Yeah, and you want to recover if you've missed that window. The beta-glucan is one of the safest ways you can do it outside of homeopathy to restore immune function and optimize it without hyperstimulating it. So you go to betterwayhealth.com. You can scan the QR code that you see at the bottom of the screen. And when you check out, whether you're getting the gummies, where you're getting the drink mixes they have, the powder with beta-glucan in it, or the capsules that they have of various strengths, use the code RSB to get 10% off at checkout. And shout out. I'm hoping that they're going to be – I need to reach out and find out if they're going to be at the Beljanski Integrative Cancer Conference later this month. That'll be great. Let's see. What else we got to say thank you to? Let's talk homeopathy. You just saw a brief little spot about the Global Natural – Healing Solutions or Health Solutions, GNHSHealing.com. There is a place where some of you are like, Robert, can I see you as a homeopath? Like, I honestly don't have time with the schedule. I try to help a little bit, but to go to the depth that if you really want to go all the way in on homeopathy, Global Natural Health Solutions, they are going to be kind of curating, if you will, access to a wide variety of really solid foundational homeopaths to help you. And they have given a discount code that is extraordinary, RSB240, to get $240 off. We're also working on a way for you to submit your case. And I don't know exactly how we'll select it, but somebody's case will be selected and we'll do your case live on the air in July sometime. That's what we're planning on at the moment. We'll do it anonymously, of course, because, you know, obviously these things are very personal. But to show you what goes into selecting, a homeopathic remedy for someone, going to that classical methodology, that one remedy similimum. So thanks to the folks at Global Natural Health Solutions. Also, we have Lisa Rooney. She's out of Atlanta, but she can consult remotely through, you know, the technology that exists now. And Lisa is at VibrantLife247.com. We do expanded homeopathic hits every month here, which has been great. We've been having a great time with it, learning a lot as well, teaching a lot. And it's a great, joyful time to get together. And she also has a course that you use CALM20, CALM20, to get discount on her course. But if you want to get a consult, she'll give you $100 off when you mention the RSB show, which is cool. And finally, a shout out to our friends at Ridgecrest Herbals. Ridgecrest Herbals, it's a family business. And they're doing these eclectic herbal blends, mixes that have been going on for, you know, over 100 years. It's really profound the way they can kind of synergistically put those things together to help you. Whether you like, I've heard you, Robert, talk about the liver. Do they have something for the liver? Yeah, they do. Kidneys? Yeah, they do. Lungs? Absolutely. That's where I first learned about Ridgecrest Herbals years ago with their Clear Lungs formula. Phenomenal. And, the government went after them. They were too good. We've talked about it on the air, but they're doing great work. Ridgecrest Herbals can be found at rcherbals.com. And it's a little longer of a discount code, but when you check out after you go to their website, use discount code 26BHU10. 26BHU10. Now, part of the reason I feel so good, you know, I did my Cardio Miracle this morning. I didn't get to eat, but I can pour some Cardio Miracle in some water and drink that and keep it going, you know, along with my fitness regime. I didn't have a chance to go work out or anything today, but yesterday I did a couple of miles, you know, of a walk. I was just kind of getting on a little bit on the time zone or what, you know, just getting to know the city, and walked to that restaurant, the homegrown gastropub or bistro, whatever, organic stuff. But movement is life. And I just encourage you to consider, you don't have to be, you know, an Olympic athlete, but some level of movement and pushing your body, your muscles, your bones is going to be critical for longevity. If you plan to stick around and be functional. And I'm really grateful for the Cardio Miracle to give me even another level of functionality that, you know, I was an athlete, even though I was chronically ill in my younger years. I swam. That was my thing, competitive swimming, which is a pretty cool sport. But man, the things I had to overcome and realize after the fact how not well I was considering what I was able to overcome, it shows as well what the human will can do. If you will something to happen, right? I couldn't will myself to get well. I had to also do things differently. And also there was a point where I had to realize the limits of the human will. They can take you far, even in athletics, right? Strong will can overcome the pain of training and you go a little bit harder. But these things are, there's a point where beyond the human will is what? God. Grace, forgiveness, real healing. And that's where it's not all of a mental construct. It's also a surrender to something more powerful than anything. And that something I call love is more powerful than power. And that's something that, you know, you can't will yourself to love someone or will someone to love you. There's something more. There's something very deep and I would dare say spiritual that goes beyond that. When we talk about this journey and how to succeed or even how to define success. And you know, as I talked about last hour a little bit with the Bill Gates thing, it's not that it's all bad to have some self-interest, because if you don't and are incapable of caring for yourself, how are you going to care for your family, much less a community if you want to give charity? You've got to be able to stand on your own 2 feet too. There are some people that can't for a number of reasons, and they're going to depend upon you or me to help them in those cases, but we have to be strong enough and stable enough to be able to do that, or else, man, I'm just trying to survive here. How am I going to help you? How am I going to help her? Right? That kind of thing. So self-interest is not bad in and of itself, but there is a point where it becomes very destructive, because it becomes, you know, how much can I control people as opposed to helping them? Because Gates is not about this. I'm just kindly trying to put together something I believe is going to help you in these vaccines. He also wants to make it so governments force you to take that product that he profits from. So it's harder for me to believe someone like that when they say, I am just using my billions for good. Now, does this mean I'm all about banning people who achieve billions? I mean, I don't even have the delusion that I could do that if I wanted to. But trying to find my way, it's not dependent upon them finding their way. And this is where we get back to the discussion with Superdon. Can we find a way, a workaround? And I found in many ways, yes, we can, because I am a creative divine spark of creation itself. God, as we all are, I perceive that. And because of that, we can tap into creative imagination. That is a gift, not from Bill Gates or any government or any super rich person, but it comes from and stems from our relationship to the divine that makes it possible to even be alive. But that begs people to look a little bit deeper into their life about what it all is for. What's the meaning of life? What's the purpose of life? Is it just accumulate stuff? I still would defend this. Let me just say a free market capitalistic society over any other, as far as the ones that I know about and learned about, because the opportunity for growth and achievement is most unlimited there. Even though there are limitations, as we see, put by government, pretty much obstacles to limit you from achieving certain things. But the idea that we would then say, well, that free market capitalism didn't work because we abandoned it, by the way. It's not really what's in operation in America today. Therefore, we must become communists is also a wrong-headed response, even though I feel you. I know where people are at when they feel like, well, I can't get ahead. The game is rigged against me, or it's rigged against all of us in a sense, but that denies our divinity. That's where it becomes a little bit of a lazy response, where we don't connect or reconnect to the source of all of our strength, our power, our capacity to overcome all of these great obstacles that are thrown in our path by what we perceive or who we perceive to be bad guys or girls, right? If it's an outright denial it may be just a forgetfulness, or I just give up. I can't handle it. I can't deal with it. So maybe if the government can take care of me, or some social system can take care of me, then it'll be better. Right. We are very low on the survival scale, or the vital force, as we would say in homeopathy, when we just go, I can't do it. I need somebody else to take care of me. Now, there's nothing wrong in my perception to reach out for help. But if that help is just to be a permanent state of disability, a debility, and a crutch, then, you know, there is a bit of a limitation there in terms of what you'll be able to achieve with that, because it's always depleting rather than replenishing, right? And when we tap into that source, divine spirit, Holy Spirit, whatever you call it, then suddenly you can feed this recovery that is thought to be impossible, much like the doctors who are here achieving the impossible by learning something that they didn't learn in medical school, and that many states probably won't even let you do, for all I know. But they're here because they want to do something better. They want to tap into something greater. And I, again, I respect that. They might not know all the things I know. I might not know all the things they know. It's not about who's better at everything or this thing. It's about the willingness to, you know, step aside and say, you know what, I'm ready to learn some more, because I'm on this path to really serve in some way. And it isn't only about, or all about, how much stuff I can accumulate. But again, that asks for a spiritual depth of your journey, my journey, that differs from those that are very much materialistic, reductionistic, collectivistic, that look at this pie as, you know, very limited too, right? When the love of God and the sustenance, much less other things that we can get from that, are unlimited. They don't dry up and dry out. They do when we abandon them, or we stop practicing them, or acknowledging that reality. And then we're looking for scraps to replenish or replace the things that we're really seeking, that I believe are deep spiritual yearnings to be connected to the source of all life itself. You know, I'm talking about this stuff, and I'm pretty idealistic about it, but I'm also realistic. I know not everybody's at the same place. That's okay. That's what the place is designed for. But the opportunity to co-create, or out-create, in fact, all of the limitations is there when we connect with the divine, not when we have influence from, or with, or over a particular political party or candidate. That's a pale, shallow reflection of what we're really desiring. But, you know, governments instituted among men, what was ours here in America designed to do, preserve the rights that pre-exist the creation of that government. We're not living those principles for the most part, but there are some of us here, and I think I count you guys and gals in this audience among us, that are trying to do better, trying to restore some semblance of integrity and honesty in that, and not just trying to get what I can while I'm here and get out, right? Again, that's not so fulfilling to me. It is for some, apparently. Bill Gates, particularly, and people like him, Fauci and others. So with that, I'm going to take a pause here, take a sip of water. Super Don, any comments, questions, or people going, oh, man, God, this is the most boring thing I've ever heard. I'm just trying to go deep because I have an opportunity to do so today. Until, you know, when a guest goes, I'll go deep with the guest if that's possible.
You know, it's kind of like doing a Sunday conversation or something, right? You know? It's
on
like-
a Thursday.
Believe it or not, I mean, we sit down and especially on the Saturday conversations with PTL, mm-hmm. I'm just the guy behind the scenes pushing the buttons, which is like, it's like going back to the old days, which I like. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we can knock out an hour easy. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Do you remember there was a time where you and I would sit here and be like, oh crap, what are we going to do? What are we going to talk about? How are we going to
remember that?
Trying to fill an hour. How are we going to deal? Now it's just like, whatever.
Yeah. Well, I think it's a bigger deal when we were once a week, honestly. That's the funny thing. I think it's much harder to do a show once a week than it is to do 5 days, 6 days, or 7 days a week. I think that's what I've found, because we're in such a groove and such a rhythm that it doesn't take much planning or prep anymore. Now, that's not to say you're lazy at all, because you do a lot of work. I'm the one that gets to show up and get all the glory, you know, with all the work you do. But no, I take those things that you do and you know, shape them into something I think is interesting and educational.
We got a system down here.
Yeah, it works. There's a band called System of a Down, isn't there?
System of a Down, great band. Yeah. I saw them. Mm-hmm. I saw them at Ozfest, back when they had an Ozfest. Yeah.
Cool.
I got got to see a bunch of bands.
By the way, my buddy Alex sent me.
Just snuck in right there.
We got a guest coming in just a moment. I'm very excited.
All right. So
I was just going to say, my buddy Alex sent me. He always keeps me up to date on who's going where as far as bands of our youth, right? And there's like a new wave kind of band concert collaboration, which includes an Atlanta band called The Producers. I've mentioned to you before. And he says they're going on tour with The Tubes and, you know, bands like that. They were out of San Francisco.
The Tubes were a great band back in the 80s.
So apparently they're reuniting and doing a tour. I forget what they're called, but in that realm. And I might see if I can get to one of those shows. That'll be fun.
I would go see The Tubes. Those are one of those groups where they had a couple of really, you know, commercial hits, but they were great. And it was kind of I don't even know how to describe it, but I remember the front of the album had a like a PVC pipe.
Yes.
It was like a team.
Scoot on in here with me here, if you don't mind. And so now I'm going to welcome Maria Watson to the Robert Scott Bell Show for the first time. By the way, I just learned from my wife that Frank Schallenberger, with his brief visit today before he went to lunch, was our guest number 2,297. So, Maria, you are guest 2,298 on the Robert Scott Bell Show. Welcome.
Oh, can I hang around long enough to be 99 and the whatever the next number is?
You only get counted once, though. Even if you're on multiple times, you're still your first time on. That's the number we got you. Yes. So welcome and thank you for being here at the Ozonotherapy Certification Week. And we just connected. You talked to me about the issue of tremors, right? About tremors. And there are a lot of people that suffer. And if they're not at all aware of holistic options, they think, the only thing I could do is drugs and more drugs that can temporarily.
How about deep brain stimulation with a drill?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Even that. I mean, there's some brutal, barbaric interventions for these strange neurological aberrations that occur. And, you know, we see it in the most overt way with something called Parkinson's disease, of course. Mm-hmm. But there are things that are not Parkinson's that manifest similarly. So since we haven't had a lot of time to talk beforehand, I want to ask you a little bit about your backstory, about how you got connected to all of this. And then we'll go into some things that you've worked with and found that could be helpful for people in this audience and doctors around the world listening to the show.
I would love that.
Oh, so go, Maria. What are you doing here? How did you get here? What was the journey?
Oh, I love this story. So in 1987, my three-year-old son was killed by a drunk driver. Mm. And I had 3 years of being overly medicated and lost. Just didn't want to stay alive. I was on 24-hour suicide watch. By the grace of God, I was introduced to an amino acid formula. Mm-hmm. By happenstance, I just walked into a tanning salon and this guy hands it to me. I didn't even ask what was in it. Obviously, if I'm trying to kill myself,
he can help me. Yeah.
Well, in the tanning bed, I used to think about my son and I couldn't breathe. It was like an elephant was on my chest.
Yeah.
So this particular day, I'm laying there and I'm thinking about Joshua and I'm breathing. And I came out of that room and I'm like, I don't know what in the hell you just gave me, but I want to buy $2,000 worth of it because that's all the space I have on my credit card.
Right. Okay.
So I did and got my life back. I was 200 pounds and devoted every minute of every day to helping people. Like, you don't have to feel the way I felt and you don't have to go do drugs because they just cascade into bigger messes. Mm-hmm. So the journey started 35 years ago with that particular product. And then the company changed the formula to make more money. Mm.
This happens so often.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So that's why I went into manufacturing, like over my dead body. Am I going to go give you my word that something's going to work? Mm-hmm. And then there's some bozo that decides they're going to cut it to make an extra buck. Mm-hmm. So that's really how I got here. I met Frank 25 years ago. My husband owned Vitamin Research Products.
Oh, I remember them.
Yep. Yeah. And so we were in Carson City. We made some of Frank's products. And we just, Frank and Judy stood up for my husband and I when we got married. And I have come to all his events because the audience that follows him is so engaged in wanting the truth.
That's what I find, yes.
You know, so like I started coming and having a table, and this is my fourth brand. After my husband and I sold VRP, I went into consulting. And I started helping all these companies, but they all allowed me to help. And then they would go to Amazon. And I finally was like, you can't do this to practitioners.
Right.
They spend all this time, and then the person goes and shops on Amazon, and then the person thinks it doesn't work because they didn't even get the real stuff.
Yeah.
So anyway, I ended up at the ripe old age of 70, starting my fourth brand.
Wow.
And, you know, like, I'm not going to give up. I'm going to save the world. And this keto thing, that wasn't even my realm. My realm was nitric oxide. So I met this scientist guy, and I had studied the keto diet, but I couldn't do it. But I knew neurologically, I have tremors. I've had them for 25 years. And I knew if I could eat keto, the data said it would help me, but I couldn't, my gallbladder couldn't tolerate all that fat.
Yeah.
So I learned about exogenous ketones, and lo and behold, about a year ago, I learned about this safe keto ester on a glycerol molecule, so I could dose it high enough to get all the neurological benefits.
Can you take that? You're describing something. Can you ingest it orally?
Oh, ingest it orally.
Because a lot of times you talk about in the injection pathway bypass digestion for some kids.
This is, I wear a keto monitor now.
Okay.
I learned about this keto monitor.
Okay.
And so I watch on my phone. I got, just because I thought this was all in my head, I got a Parkinson's app. I wear an Apple Watch. When the keto monitor says I'm in ketosis, which is all the keto diet does,
right?
Then this says you're not shaking. Not that I need it to tell me I'm not
sure,
shaking,
you know,
because I can write.
But it does, it does it confirm it in a sense? It's accurate.
You've
tested. Okay.
So the biggest thing I'm doing right now, and I always go to bed at night thinking, dear God, how did you bless me with being this pioneer? So I did a pilot study. And we recruited about 23 people, 95% validated, lessening or no tremors for about 4 to 6 hours.
Now, again, you talked about this thing called exogenous ketones. That is, instead of having to force the body
to
through
make it,
dietary shifts,
it,
that you'd have to go through a lot of fat ingestion, and not everybody can tolerate that. As you point out, gallbladder issues, people remove gallbladders. You found a way to utilize a form of these that could be ingested safely, that would actually be assimilated into the body. And then what would it do to pathways? Describe this, because we talk about a neural pathway resulting in this, and then now it's not happening.
Okay. So I've got zero medical background.
Okay.
But what I did is I went to the Keto Mojo website. Now, they're trying to sell a device that proves when you're in ketosis, because they are supporting the keto diet. So I start going on this website, and I'm reading OCD in 8 days of being on the keto diet changes. I mean, this is not nothing. So the more I learned about the state of ketosis, what I believe I now understand, although I had dinner with Frank last night and he explained even more, when your brain is happy and it's not feeding off glucose and it's feeding off ketones, I think there's a cumulative thing going on. Because in the morning, I can have 2 cups of coffee, Kona coffee, no less, strong coffee. Then I take my ketones, and I, before I take my ketones, I can carry my coffee cup up the stairs with one hand.
And it's not spilling.
And it's not spilling.
Wow, that's a pretty good test.
I mean,
there.
And that came out of nowhere. I realized I'm holding onto the railing, and my cup is with one hand. So what I care about most, that your audience would maybe respond to, is that this study that I'm doing now, it's an IRB approved study. I need 50 participants. I think we're up to about 30. But if you've never gotten relief, this is a 3-day study. I don't need you for the rest of your
three
life.
3 days.
I provide
now,
all the product.
Okay.
And you'll either stop shaking or you won't.
Okay. All right. So we will definitely find you some participants based on what you're describing here today. We're talking about a non-toxic, safe ingestible
clean
substance.
As the-
yeah. And and you say 3 days. Remarkable. I'm excited to hear and share this. And then the question becomes, how can people reach out to be part of this?
Okay, so I will have to give you the link, because
okay.
I think it's easier than what I'm going to do right now.
I'll follow up with everybody.
It's called bioinsights.com/study. Dr. Travis Bond is conducting the study for me. So it's all very IRB compliant.
Got it.
And I'm so convinced that we cracked the code, that this isn't difficult. You take this little shot in the morning and you get like, now I'm getting 8 hours of motion shaking.
Wow.
But the people from the first study that was really informal, at least four. But you get 4 to 6. I can sign a check. Like, that's just quality.
They make movies about this stuff, right? You know, and the thing is, when you can do it with a non-toxic, let's say, I don't know if this is a patentable item, right? Because we know Big Pharma works on patents only,
right? I've got a feeling that the guy who owns the technology just called me a week ago and says, Maria, I'm going to file a patent on what you're doing.
Okay.
So I don't know what all that means, but I'm just going on this for the ride.
Right.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Somewhere on Earth, there are 4 acres that belong to you. You don't need to be there in person, only there in purpose, protecting it, defending it, keeping it alive. Because the world doesn't need more good intentions. It needs more meaningful actions. Register your interest at 4acresearth.com.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
I understand. So this is fascinating. And are there other things on that bioinsights.com website, or is that specific to the study? Or is that?
I think when you put /study, you get to where it's his platform that is going to organize all the data.
Now, in the interim, you have this, it probably is be considered a dietary supplement.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Is this something available here at this event or events you go to?
Well, I purposefully only work through physicians because I don't want to be the Amazon lady.
Yes, yes.
So, but, you know, like I can get a code and people can get in this right now, just get in the study because you will find out at no cost, no obligation, no nothing. Did it help you? And if it did, do you know, I'm in 6 tremor groups on Facebook. These people have no hope. Like they're talking to each other about how the neurologist doesn't know anything.
Well, you know, I'm working on a book and editing it process now, and it's about mysterious illnesses and ailments, which include this. And now I have maybe a piece of the puzzle I can add into it based on the information I'm going to get from you. So thank you. This is very timely.
Well, God doesn't make mistakes on timing, by the way.
No, not at all. This is very, very interesting that we connected here this way. So thank you. Thank you for what you're doing. So this is my first time at this Schallenberger event. And I know it goes 4 days. It's pretty intense. Does it just keep building? I mean, it's a whole lot of different things going on. I mean,
so here I've attended this for so many years. So today and tomorrow is going to be very factual teaching. And then Saturday, like there's hands-on. People are doing this thing. And usually I pull out on Saturday because there was blood bags everywhere.
Everywhere, right? You like the sight of blood? Oh,
I don't mind the sight of blood, but that's a lot of blood.
Yeah.
I mean, there's like six people.
So we're turning this into like a triage center.
What's great about the way he does it, he doesn't just send you home with facts.
He wants to give you hands-on practical. So I guess people will be conducting this on each other.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Wow.
And I've yet to hear a whoops. So I think it's all good.
No, they're very serious about it here. I think they're doing it responsibly. Absolutely. So
can I ask you something which is totally inappropriate?
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about your show and how do you get more audience? Because I would love to take whatever it is you do and send it to my database and have them get engaged with you.
Yeah. Well, I've been doing this show for 27 years. So I'm like, long time old guy, right, in this space. It was initially in radio when we got a start, and it was on syndicated radio. And then as things evolved, radio became less important as we went online and you know, transcended it and reached everywhere around the world. And now we're on 7 days a week, 5 days a week live, which is like we're live right now going out to the world from this event. Whether I'm in the home studio or I'm out and about, I try to do it. Unless I'm on an airplane, I haven't figured out a way to broadcast from an airplane yet.
Get your own jet.
Yeah. And, you know, we've had to overcome a lot of censorship and all of that because of especially during COVID. But I was at this for so long that, you know, they didn't even know what was hitting before that. Then COVID came and they're like, hey, who's talking anything? We can't control the narrative. Right. And yet afterwards we had an explosion of new audience members because of what happened in COVID. Mm-hmm. The interest suddenly skyrocketed into the things that were considered fringe. And Super Don, you've been on this journey with me for a long time. If I'm missing anything, as she's asking that question, we had to move from YouTube to Rumble because YouTube was banning us, right?
Oh, wow.
And Rumble became a nice video platform that we use that is like YouTube but doesn't censor us. Mm. And even podcast sites were censoring us, but now we're pretty much everywhere. But even Facebook, we're like, I can't even be bothered. Although we tell people on Facebook, come on over to Rumble, or Substack now is another place where we go. So yes, I can share with you information because they'll be able to watch this in archived form. The moment it's over, it'll be available and we can send out the link and everybody that knows you and wants to hear this story.
Well, it isn't even about me. What I love about reciprocal relationships is I want to help you do what you're doing because you're helping me do what I need with this recruitment.
Right. Well, and this is what we talk about, Superdon, the spirit of cooperation, right? How very rarely do people think in those terms like Maria is saying. Like the moment you're connected, you're like, how can I help you?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And this is also a Laban-Ditchburn thing, right?
Yeah, very true, yeah.
A Laban-Ditchburn thing is like his first thing is, what can I do to help you, right? Which is awesome. But so few people, it's like, well, what can I get out of this?
Oh, I know.
What can you do for me? And I, you know, I don't think a thought of it because I think the end result of getting all of these wonderful people like Maria for the first time on is to reach out to people that, you know, like you said, God doesn't make accidents, but he also utilizes us all as, you know, conduits to connect. And so when we look at it that way, it's not a competition. It's a cooperation, not because we're forced to, but because we believe in our hearts, this is what we're here to do.
Yep.
Yeah.
And you know, right before when I first saw your card, I went right to my phone and I looked up your website and I was seeing the Holy Spirit and I was seeing things on your website. And, you know, we don't know how long we get on this planet. Mm-hmm. And it's so much more fun to live in doing good for other people. Yeah. So much more fulfilling than what can I get? What can I get?
Because you'll never be fulfilled with that perspective.
Yep. The emptiness is forever. So anyway, I'm so grateful that you let me talk to you.
Oh, yeah. This is exciting for me, too. So it's Approved Medical Solutions is the card I have here. So there's also a website, approvedmedicalsolutions.com.
Yes.
When people go there, what will they find?
They'll find a restriction because they have to have a doctor.
Okay. So
my email is Maria. At
approvedmedicalsolutions.com. Okay.
And I will do whatever anybody needs done. But start with that study because it's free. This is so personal for me. I think I can prove this. But IRB wants us to have 50 people.
Okay. Well, I don't think we're going to have a problem with that. I just have a sense of it. So,
okay.
I appreciate you bringing that out for all of us to tap into. If you know of somebody who deals with these tremors, do they have to have an official diagnosis?
No. In fact, I got a feeling that the stats say 10 million people have been diagnosed. You know how many people probably didn't even want to go to the doctor? Because what I'm reading on these posts is they're too embarrassed to leave their house.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. There's probably millions more that are not. So, all right, y'all. And are there any books to read on any of these things that might be inspirational or educational for people specific to the ketone concept you talked about? Because exogenous ketones, as opposed to having to go to a diet that puts you in ketosis, which, again, not everybody can do. And so you've provided an opportunity that is really extraordinary.
So here's what I do know. I know there are really interesting, now this is going to sound silly, but cookbooks, so that even when you use an exogenous ketone and now you're hungry, if you can eat keto, you can stay in that miraculous state. I'm telling you, you don't want to get out of this state. People ask me, why are you so happy all the time? And at 70, I'm in the gym this morning. I did like 6 miles on the elliptical with there was awesome. No fatigue. I could have kept going, but I had to be here.
Right.
So it's just.
I appreciate that.
You're going to love the way you feel. I think somebody used to say, you're going to love the way you look.
Right? Yes.
It's like, you're going to
Who does that one, Super Don? It's a commercial. You can hear
it. Warehouse, Men's Warehouse.
Was it Men's? Oh, yes, you're right. The suit. You're going to love the way you look.
Yeah.
Good memory on that.
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah, we got some memories of some commercials. Now, I don't know that. We were talking about
George
young people.
Zimmerman, I think, was his name, wasn't it? George
Zimmerman.
Zimmerman was the
might have been.
Yeah. Yes, it was definitely George.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think you're right. Yeah. But the idea of having commercials that are embedded into our consciousness from our youth or younger years, I don't know that young people have that anymore because there's so many. There's like not everybody tuned into the same things when we grew up for the most part.
So let me segue there for a minute, because first of all, I wonder if there's a certain spot in our brain that when everything else goes awry, that one that remembers commercials and lyrics hangs on forever. But one thing I have noticed, and I know there's data on that Keto Mojo website, Alzheimer's and dementia. When you're on that keto diet and you can stay in ketosis, my memory, I'm remembering people's names. Oh, I even am remembering their spouse's name.
Right.
And, you know, like, I'm in the gym. We live in Hawaii in the winter. And I'm in the gym and all these people walk by and I'm like, I know that person. Now it's like within a split second, my brain's kicking in.
This is great.
There's data on this. But the data's all sitting in the world of the keto diet, not the state of ketosis,
right?
Which is all we're doing.
So a lot of people are going to hear this and say, I want whatever it is she's taking. You know, I'll have what she's having.
Yeah.
And they have to go through a doctor to get it. But is it?
No. You don't have to go through a doctor to get it. Here's why I restrict purchasing. Because I'm not trying to be everything to everybody. I love servicing one to many. So when I can take care of the Schallenbergers of the world and then he goes and talks to all his patients, and I want to protect that realm.
Okay. So we might be able to do something here.
Oh, yeah. If I call my office, we can get a code so they can get right through the barrier.
Okay. So folks, maybe by tomorrow's broadcast, I might have a code for you guys if you want to try this. All right. So,
I think I have a code. I can just, and I think it's Maria 20 or something. You might try it because you save money, but you know, they always tell me what it is, but I get so excited.
Is it very cost prohibitive, this product?
No.
Okay.
Kind of.
Okay.
So here's why I say no.
I mean, it's valuable based on what you're saying.
I won't live a day without it. And I know from the first study that people really want to feel like this, but I want to plant this seed. It is valuable episodically. So let's say you want to go out to dinner tonight. And I know these people don't want to ever be in a restaurant because they think people stare at them. You can actually use it. If you need to go do a delicate surgery, give it 40 minutes and your hands will stop shaking.
Wow.
So you don't have use it like a life thing. I mean, I want to, but
sure.
But if you just want to use it when the kids come over, and by the way, one thing that is startling, when I started joining those groups and just watching them talk to each other, it used to be old people. that have tremors.
Yeah.
These people are on these groups, and there are 10-year-old and 15-year-old and 18-year-old people shaking. That's something's wrong.
Very wrong. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, this is the thing, the long-term perspective I always have is it corrective? Can we fully correct, or is it just palliative and managing? But, and then if it, that is the case, then is it at all building up and intoxicating over time? You know, that is another aspect of this, but it doesn't sound like that.
Well, wait a minute. I talked to Frank last night at dinner, and I said to him, Frank, I think this is cumulative. It's almost like when I had the steady hand up the stairs, I hadn't had the ketones yet.
So there is a build.
There's a buildup. And now what I think Pavlov's dog here, my brain knows the ketones are coming. So it's like, I don't know how to explain it, but he did. He explained it to me medically. I didn't understand most of it, but he absolutely acknowledged that you can build this pattern of behavior where your body will expect it. And now I'm wondering, will it expect it and behave without it even getting the thing?
That's fascinating. Yeah.
I mean, I'm excited to learn more, but I don't ever want to give up my bottle to find out if it's going to be without it.
Right. Well, really just a great pleasure meeting you, Maria, here. And I know we've got a few more days here until you bug out with the blood.
Yeah.
I'm here till Sunday, but I have to try to bug out a little early because I have to fly on Monday to DC for a MAHA event where I'm on a panel with policymakers. That'll be interesting.
By the way, Dr. Travis Bond, who's doing the BioInsight thing, was invited to the White House and got pictures with Dr. Oz and everybody. But that platform that he's working on, I think they have had interest in it.
Okay. Well, there should be. Yeah. We'll see where it all goes. And then we've got a bunch of other events coming up after that. As you know, the Southern Utah Holistic Health Summit, that's in St. George, the 17th through the 20th of this month. And then we have the Beljansky Integrative Cancer Conference, which is the 26th through the 29th. That'll be in San Diego, California this month. So very busy month starting now.
And in August, I will be in San Diego with a fluke. There is a group called the Society for Metabolic Health Practitioners. I don't know how God made me find those people. But then I found out that there's an event called Low Carb USA. So I go to this thing thinking, well, I eat low carb. The whole 3 days they were talking about ketones.
Wow.
So I stumbled onto this place and I'm going to be at that event in San Diego, but it's for regular people. It's not just for practitioners.
Okay.
People that want to know more about low carb living. It's a fascinating group.
Right. We talk about historically, you know, what kind of diets did we eat, you know, before there was all this processed and instant food and frozen food and preserved food. And I, you know, what was everybody on a ketogenic diet for the most part? I mean, was that the majority of the way? So you see that history?
You know, I can only say to you that what is fascinating to me is that the go back ancestor, they only ate, they fasted because they were out killing the thing they were going
to
eat.
They didn't have instant access to food all the time.
So that constant lack of food, you know that there is a study, I bet you know this. Have you ever heard the name Walter Longo? He's one of the few people that published data on fasting.
Okay.
And if you fast for 16 hours, according to his data, disease reversal happens. Yeah.
Well, I've definitely adopted that way of living right now for me. I wasn't intending to fast half the day today, but it just worked out that way. But and I'm okay. But tomorrow, every Friday, I do a fast, a 24-hour fast. Right. And I couldn't do that when I was younger. So it shows improvement in metabolic efficiency and adaptability that we don't have when we always have access to food whenever we even think about it, whether we're hungry or not, and we eat it, changes our metabolic expectations, etc.
Yeah, and it becomes dependent. You know what I found fascinating is learning what the word breakfast meant. You're breaking
the fast.
And you know, like breakfast, I don't eat till 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I go to bed at 8. But I drink wine. I do everything you're not supposed to do during that.
Are you
little...
smoking cigars too?
Well, no, but I'm just saying it's not about not living.
Yes, exactly.
It's just let your body have peace mm-hmm. long enough that it can repair all the damage yeah. you've done over all these years.
Well, and that's that aging is degenerating faster than you regenerate. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of reasons for it, a lot of things you can do, but some of the things you're sharing with us and you're a living example of can help folks. So you guys take note of this stuff. And we'll talk with Maria again at another time. We'll be hanging out this weekend. I'll see if I can get some more insight and information to relate to you about these things, and I'll look into it. And got nice connection. By the way, there's a story here. I thought this would be a good one. Super Don, can you put this up on the screen? Reflections on Brain Death, Hope and the Limits of Certainty. That sounds like a very philosophical / medical article if I've ever heard one. Reflections on Brain Death, Hope and the Limits of Certainty. You know, I think we do have a lot of these philosophical discussions on this show. There it is. Brownstone Institute article from Joseph Ferrone. You know, it's fascinating when we talk about the physical reality where we put so much emphasis on only that. It's a materialistic worldview. It's devoid of so much of the joy that we get when we're not necessarily engaging in material pursuits, but there's a benefit to the material experience when we do that. It's kind of wild. It doesn't make sense. It's counterintuitive because I'm not pursuing material pursuits, but I'm gaining material benefit from that.
Well, I can't believe how showered when I let go of everything mm-hmm. and I had lost Joshua, mm-hmm. there was no meaning to anything like money. What right. am I going to do with it? It's not yeah. going to bring me joy.
Not going to bring Joshua back.
It's right? not yeah. going to bring Joshua back. Yeah. So when you separate yourself from the desires or the wants, I went into a store the other day and the lady goes, "Can I help you find something?" And I looked at her and I said, "I don't need anything. There's nothing I need. I don't need jewelry. I don't need shoes. I certainly don't need any more husbands." So, I mean, it's like, and I've got two houses. What mm-hmm. more can you, mm-hmm. I just want to help people. I'm so blessed. I want other people to get feel like I do. Mm-hmm. So that's my job.
I love it. I love it. That's a great connection here, y'all. I hope you've enjoyed this show. We got a few more minutes before we wrap up here from the Schallenberger event as we're doing ozone therapy certifications. Let me just see if there are other stories here I wanted to relate while we have you. 1 in 4 item contains excessive additives, safety concerns, leading OB. There's so many stories. Like they kind of take us from this reality that we're kind of co-creating a whole different worldview. And then you go back and you see, you know, a leading OBGYN medical society is breaking from the CDC, which has started backing a little bit off of, you know, universal vaccination recommendations for women who are pregnant. And they're like, "Oh no, you can't do that. So we're the experts." And of course those experts receive often material benefit from endorsing and embracing vaccines for everybody, everything, all the time, including pregnant women. And so it comes back to what is important for you to gain so much of a material sense, but lose the essence of who you are, and then end up with what? Are you happier? But I guess this is the journey so many of us have to go through to figure this out.
Well, yeah, it's a journey, but I'm going to tell you that when you, and I don't know how many people in your audience pray, but I have found that I read Jesus Calling. And it seems like repeatedly it says, "Give me time, mm-hmm. give me quiet space." I'm finding now I don't pray for anything. I just pray for people to feel like me. I call people out by name saying, "You know, God, I lift up this person." But I don't, what am I going to ask for? Mm-hmm. Like there's nothing left. Yeah. And we don't know how many days we get. So I'm not even asking for more days.
Yeah. But it's like, to be open to the guidance is often something ask.
Open.
Yeah. To be open to the guidance, because in that I'll always be in the right place at the right time. Mm-hmm. Even if everything goes wrong, it's right. The power to heal is yours.